Get ready to bowl, party, and play at Bowlero. Four great locations throughout Chicagoland. Head to Bowlero for bowling, arcade games, laser tag, and other awesome amusements. Check out their inventive menu of outrageous eats and try their massive 5-pound behemoth burger. No matter what the occasion, Bowlero's party pros can help you plan the perfect celebration, from birthdays to kids' parties to corporate events and more. Bowlero. Locations in Naperville, Romeoville, Algonquin, and Buffalo Grove. Find out more at Bowlero.com.
Every dealership pays the same amount to the factory for a new Chevy, but some dealers advertise phony low prices online just to lure you in. At JenningsChevrolet.com, the low price you see is the low price you pay. On Waukegan Road in Glenview or at JenningsChevrolet.com, find new roads.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com, created by a team of dedicated pajama experts. The world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. Talk about dreamy. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel. You'll love the way they caress every curve. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to linger a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. You don't even have to wrap. Every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery guaranteed. Call 1-800-GIVE-PJs or click the banner to visit Pajamagram.com.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Rick Camp. The Bulls head up I-90 to take on the Bucks tonight.
Okay, I can't find it on this map.
Well, get yourself a new map.
I'm a little concerned if Campy's right and the Bulls are headed up I-90.
When will they make it to the game?
Because that's not going to get them to Milwaukee.
Well, look at it this way, honey. This is a part of America we never get to see. So just make us appreciate what we have. Roll them up.
Where will it get them, Dan?
Yeah, if they're taking 90, they're going to get to Rockford, and then it turns, and it goes directly up to Madison.
Maybe they want to go to Madison. This is the most fun college visit I've ever had.
Right, but there's
Madison, Wisconsin.
There's no game there.
Over here? Oh, no. Hey, go ahead.
It's
right in there.
This from the 847, I-90 to Beloit, and then you can take I-43 to Milwaukee.
Or you can just go up 94 and go to Milwaukee.
Come to Milwaukee often?
Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land. I think one of the most interesting aspects of Milwaukee is the fact that it's the only major American city to have ever elected three socialist mayors.
Does this guy know how to party or what?
Huh? The Bulls head up I-90 to take on the Bucks tonight.
And I gave that man directions, even though I didn't know the way. Because that's the kind of guy I am this week.
More action. More excitement. More everything.
Bernstein and Goff, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, and it's brought to you by your local Ford stores. It doesn't feel like the usual Bears Monday because they played on Saturday, and that's good. It's better that way. But I'll admit, I'm maybe not the greatest at it, but I know when I'm wrong, and occasionally I'll admit being wrong. And
what happened?
I was wrong about taking away more than I should from the Bears' victory over the Cincinnati Bengals.
Because they quit?
They quit. And I know Olin Krutz said it too. And when he said, look, he said it's the worst linebacker play he's ever seen.
That's why I asked him about game plan versus you knowing that a team didn't put in anything during the week.
And you called it ahead of time. But when you see what they did again, when they back that up with another similar performance of some combination of being bad at football and not trying, it calls anything good that happened in that game into question. Any positives we took out of that. And I try to be fair. Look, and you know, sometimes it feels like
No, I got you.
You watched the game and you saw it happen, and then if I come in,
you want to believe your eyes.
And I also, you know, and I don't want to be that guy all the time to come in there, and like, I try to be as honest with you as possible, but sometimes I'm going to give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in a season and say, okay, maybe the fact that they were young players that played better, and I admit I was looking for something to not say, like, oh, that all sucked. It was meaningless, and it was, oh, Bernstein, shut up. I don't want to hear it. They won. Can't you take anything positive out of it? So I could kind of whipsaw it in between there while I'm trying to be as honest as I can. But I guess I got fooled a little bit by a team that really is uncompetitive. And I need to revisit any of the positives that I took away and put an asterisk next to all of them.
It's funny. We just got finished talking about the top four teams in the nation in college football and good losses and good wins, bad losses, bad wins, those kinds of things. If this was a ranking system, you'd go back and look at, okay, what were the Bengals then and what are they now? Well, at the end of the season, we're going to find out. I think that some of those guys found out that Marvin Lewis wasn't coming back before yesterday's game, which made it look like that, too. I knew the Bears weren't as good as that Cincinnati Bengals thing. I thought that the Bengals were just beat up, too. And also, it was after an emotional game where guys were getting carted off left and right on a Monday night, a short week, and the Bears caught them. And the Bears do have some very good young talent that, you know, they're trying to cultivate and move forward. It was Mitchell Trubisky's best game. It was the best running game for the season. It seemed like the best play called, best game with the best play calling. And then you watch Saturday's game. And I'm going to say yesterday's game a couple of times today. So
right, get over it.
Forgive me. Yeah.
He knows it's Saturday. But, I do too.
But Saturday's game, and there's a term that Chris Collinsworth used last night when he talked about connective tissue and connectivity in an offense. You watch what they did well against the Cincinnati Bengals, and it was as if none of that happened in the play calling against the Detroit Lions. Now, I understand different personnel gives you different things to look forward to, different game plans, but the play action stuff that I thought would be there wasn't there. The running game stuff.
Running out of the shotgun.
Yeah, wasn't there. It was as if the Bears said, uh-oh, we're playing a team we should respect, that we're not catching off guard here, and a team that won't penalty themselves to death. All right, we're going to have to do some different things here. They didn't
catch them by surprise.
Right, right.
That's what they're expecting us to do.
They have what, one drive over eight plays? How many three and outs? How many four or five play drives do they have to start off the game? And then when you've got Mitchell Trubisky, who what we have noticed on the negative side is, for all the accuracy that he has, he will have fits of inaccuracy. And maybe every quarterback has them. You know, we talked about Jay Cutler, where it'd be three or four bad balls a game, but those, you know, maybe two of them would be going the other way, whereas other quarterbacks, three or four would be incompletions. He had three or four, and two of them were really, really awful throws.
Each interception,
over a guy on the run when that was supposed to be your strength.
Each interception was bad for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, he just sailed on him, and his throwing mechanics were off, and it was misjudged.
I think he doesn't have the makeup of an overstrider, but he throws the ball like his base is too far apart. I saw that yesterday with Bryce Petty too, where you see that, like, you're not Jeff Bagwell, fam. You don't have to be, you know what I'm saying? Your legs don't have to be
Albert Pujols.
Right. You don't have to be so low. Like, it feels like an overstriding situation, but on the run, that seems hard to do.
And he just lost the safety on the second one. And, and the third, obviously, he expected the tight end to be in a place where he just wasn't. And
Darius Big Play Slade was right there.
He's a damn good player. Black Talon is on the north side. He's on the score. Talon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Talon, where you been?
I've been around, gentlemen. I was the opposite of you, Dan. I was going crazy last week because I couldn't believe people were taking so much out of that Cincinnati win. I mean, I was like, it's a team that quit and that was beat up. But it's like, it's that way with every time the Bears win a game. When they stumbled into that win against Pittsburgh, people read so much into that. And I'm like, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing? They're a bad team. Nothing's changed. It's just that over the course of a long football season, unless you're the Cleveland Browns, a team is going to win a game or two. It's just that simple to me. But it doesn't mean anything.
I It ultimately in this year, thank you. It doesn't
have we received everything that means something with this Bears season?
Yeah, I don't.
Are we at the point now where the game fans can also finish out the string or finish out the season the same way players can? Like what's left to learn about this Bears team that we don't know already?
I think that's a fair question.
I'm enthused about certain things, and I'm sad or upset, angry, all the way to angry on other things as well because of the unknown that I know another coaching staff will bring. I don't know if the next coaching staff is going to jive with Mitchell Trubisky from day one just because they're an offensive coordinator or a former offensive play caller. I don't know that the defense is going to make me feel the way it did in the first 7 weeks, you know, just because you bring in another 3-4 guy to form fit what you've already drafted for.
I've got two factors that answer your question when I'm going to address this idea of meaning, that what continues to be meaningful. We know John Fox is done.
Wait till he loses to the Browns.
We know he's done.
Do you escort him out the building like that Monday? Do you wait another game? Like do you, I don't know. I know. What is there to gain from firing one game before the season? But if you lose to the Browns, can you really stick around? But go ahead.
And I think overall, I think it was just a football game against a division team that was in playoff contention that we just didn't start fast.
Oh. All right.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, great.
Appreciate you, Johnny.
The other aspect is the injuries. That once you're down to off the street guys at important positions and you're playing guys that half of them you've never heard of, I have a difficult time discerning meaning in anything that we're going to see from here on in that's going to, other than watching Trubisky try to calibrate his targeting system. Because I don't mind throwing picks. If he's able to learn from these things, yeah. If he's able to say, oh, okay, that's not open. I have to know where the safety is.
I have to trust that this guy might, you know, hang me out to dry. So there's a certain place I have to put this football.
But we got to get to a comment that John Fox apparently just made in his press conference. They're going to let me know when we have this sound loaded. But I guess he made a bit of an unfortunate comment regarding his former boss, Jerry Richardson.
He didn't take him to task immediately. He didn't say, you know what? I rebuke you and everything.
I stand against thee.
Right. I have no further dealings with Jerry Richardson or his grabby, misogynistic ways or his use of the N-word occasionally.
This as tweeted by CBS2 sports anchor and reporter Megan Malachy. Here's the John Fox quote per her Twitter. Regarding the allegations against Panthers owner Jerry Richardson, quote, I don't know the stories. I don't really want to know the stories. My dealings with him were all very positive. John?
Is that kind of his way of saying, man, that's his business, not mine? I don't want to know the stories. I don't want to be involved.
You don't want, but saying you don't want to know, anybody who espouses a desire for active ignorance out loud.
It sounds awful.
That tends to rub me the wrong way. What's going to hurt you to know? I don't know the stories. I don't want to know the stories. And then when you say my dealings, like he's asking if he could shave your legs. He's giving you the weirdo back rub, asking you for a foot rub. I don't think it's happening, John. I think as a man, not a particularly attractive one, you're in a position where you're not going to have to worry about an NFL owner doing this to you.
He has to shave my legs. That's everybody. Every owner I've worked for wants to shave my legs.
My feet are very ticklish.
Yeah, okay.
Well.
You're not making a very comfortable environment for the women around you that are working in the workplace with you.
That's another thing. But
There's a way to handle that.
Right.
You can
simply say, I'm sure that the Panthers and the NFL are going to do the right thing, and what we hear to this point sounds unfortunate.
Yeah, and if it's true, it should not be condoned in any workplace.
Right. There's just a way to other than I don't really want to know the stories. Well, maybe
that was him thinking that he's probably so shell shocked to talk about, you know, concussions and CTE. Maybe that's just the reflexive answer of every single NFL coach when it comes to anything that might, you know, come back to bite you if you get put on record. Cause I mean, hell, these guys get told now and they tell their players, give them nothing, tell them nothing, give them nothing, tell them nothing. Mm-hmm. So you're so programmed with all these canned responses that you don't realize how ridiculous or how crass some of these canned responses sound.
When he goes into his usual flow chart of globalize, minimize. This is really not that big a deal. Right. That's everybody, every owner I know always asked the women to shave their legs and talked about how tight their pants were. That's everywhere.
Yeah, because that's he's so it, used to saying
it's the only thing he knows what to do.
Give them nothing.
Is use the same template for an answer about something that really can't be handled with that particular
25
template.
Seconds of thought. 20 seconds of thought. We would lead you in a different direction.
All,
if you're
all
John
you have to
Fox.
Say is it's unfortunate and disturbing.
Yeah.
Right?
Things like this shouldn't be taking place in this day and age.
This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First-time users can enter promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. And the 815 says that's another bad bit of preparation from Fox. He has to know that he would be asked about that. Right?
You know who's going to be asked about many things because it's that time?
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that music means it's time for us to get a Bears report with our guy, Zach Zabin. His season is almost over, ladies and gentlemen.
It's always Zach Zabin's season, though, in one way or another,
this
because it's DePaul basketball. You know, his season is going to keep going.
He's
going
to be right down the street from me more times than not. I need to go check him out over there at Wintrust.
Zach's on Twitter, at Zach Zabin. He's on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. Zach!
Hey, guys, and thanks for the kind words. Jason, by the way, the next time you get a chance to catch DePaul will be Thursday against Miami of Ohio at Wintrust Arena, 7:45 pregame right here on The Score, followed by the 8 o'clock tip. I promise I'll make it good for you. Let's get to the Bears and head coach John Fox, because he had some really interesting things to say about Mitchell Trubisky's performance against the Lions. I'm sure you guys had one thought watching the game of how he performed. Listen to the head coach of the Bears here.
You know, when you go back and you look at the tape, you go through the mechanics, you go through the decision-making, there was really a lot of good that Mitch did. You know, I don't know that fans and everyday people that don't get a chance to study the tape and kind of know what he's been taught and told. You know, everybody looks at the box score, they see the three picks, you know. But, you know, probably arguably his best game. You know, the thing I think is impressive about Mitch is, you know, there was a couple situations where we might not have been lined up right, he corrected it. We had a situation where a guy's lined up wrong, he corrected it. 3-4 weeks ago, I'm not sure that happens. You know, there was a couple of throws where, I mean, mechanically he's really sound. He's staring down the barrel with, you know, somebody right in his face, you know, and drills a completion, you know, on 3rd and 18. So there was really a lot of good. I mean, I know the results, not what everybody wants. I understand that, but as far as his growth and his maturation, I thought probably his best game. As far as just him goes, I think obviously the pick in the end zone.
3 weeks in a row.
His best game.
I know he'd like to have that one back. There weren't a lot of options, but you throw it away. One thing I've seen about Mitch, you know, we even had a screen pass the other day where it was pretty well defended. You know, we didn't avoid quite good enough, but he spiked it instead of trying to make something happen and throw it down the field, which is something he had done the week prior. So. You know, guys are going to make mistakes. You just don't want to make the same ones. And I've been very impressed with him as it relates to that.
Just overall, then, with speaking of the vision of passing, how difficult for you has it been trying to win with the quarterback?
No, I wouldn't put it on the quarterback. I think it's just the overall execution in the passing game. You know, it's not one guy. I think that's a misconception a lot of people have. You know, you'd like to avoid. I didn't like having a 46 pass game with regardless of who's playing quarterback. You know, but when the game unfolds that way, you're doing what it takes to win. You know, even the three picks, it's not all on one guy. So there's some execution. There's some things that whether it's protection, whether it's depth of routes, whether it's you know, the adjustment based on the leverage of the coverage. There's just a lot that goes into it that I think a lot of people don't see and understand.
It's a little surprising to hear you talk about Mitch's possibly best game, considering how much emphasis you put on protecting the ball. And I'm just curious what you made of his three interceptions.
Well, I don't think, you know, he didn't create, you know, the situation of the game. You know, I think we did, you know, all of us. You know, again, I would do that again to try to win a game, but, you know, I don't know that in his development, whether – you know, we go to Baltimore, and I think if we try to drop back and throw it 50 times in that game, I'm not sure we get the results we get. In fact, I'm pretty darn sure we don't. So it's a little bit matchups, you know, style of play of your opponent, you know, how you match with your opponent. I think, you know, if we had executed a little bit better in the passing game, even in the situation we were in, not just on Mitch, I'm talking about as a team, as an offense, you know, we might get back in that game.
Very surprising comments from John Fox, because keep in mind, one of the reasons that Mike Glennon was benched quickly after four games was because of games like Trubisky had with the turnovers. Now, in those games, the Bears were out of it. I'm talking about the game at Tampa Bay and the game at Green Bay. Bears were out of it before the start of the second quarter because of the avalanche of turnovers by Glennon. I guess, clearly, because you're talking about a young quarterback who's developing, you understand that there are going to be games like that where someone makes mistakes. But I'm stunned to hear that from him, considering the emphasis that he has consistently placed in his 3 years here.
Protecting the football.
Exactly.
The other thing, Zach, that gets to me is you can't be the guy that won't say anything about anything and can't answer a straight question and also then say there's a lot going on that the average fan doesn't understand.
Right.
You can't be both guys. Because if you say, look, the next question, what don't we see? What do you see that we don't?
Well, he tried to.
It'll take me a long time.
That's okay. But that's okay. You can't be the guy that just wants to harumph his way out of there and run out the clock on every press conference and then say, you don't know football. You don't understand. Inform. Instruct. Let us know. If you're seeing things we're not, it's on you to tell us what and why.
Well, he tried to, without going into specific detail, talking about the protections and the checks that Trubisky was able to see, lining guys up correctly based on what the Lions were doing defensively. So that's kind of what he's talking about. But I want you to, you remember what John Fox just said. We had a surprise visit from the Bears quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, today. He took the podium, and this is his take on his performance against the Lions last weekend.
Try to look at the process, not the outcome. So I got better in some areas, but obviously we got to take care of the football to give my team a better chance to win. So did some things well, got better in some areas, but the turnovers hurt us, and that's what really kept us out of the game. So it's good to see me get better, but want to have a chance to win every single game.
Mitch, developing quarterbacks talk about the biggest improvement when the game starts to slow down for them. Is the game starting to slow down for you at all?
Yeah, I would say on some plays definitely, and on other plays not. And you could definitely see it in my footwork when I'm drifting when I don't need to, or when my feet are calm and I'm moving my progression and through my progressions very smoothly. You can kind of tell which plays it's slower and which plays it's not. So I'm definitely progressing, and you want to see the game continually get slower for me as it goes, because then you're just dissecting defenses and you're in a rhythm and going right down the field. So some plays it is, some plays it's not, and the more I'm able to slow it down, I think the more success I'll have going forward.
He did say on the pick in the end zone he forced the throw, and I think he knew it right away as soon as he was coming back to the sidelines. A third interception, miscommunication between him and Daniel Brown. And unfortunately, this is part of the process when a young quarterback is thrown in there. I will say, and it sounds funny saying it now based on the performance, but there were points during that second half where Trubisky, I thought, made some of the best throws he's made as a professional quarterback. But unfortunately, the mistakes, you can't overcome that. Aaron Rodgers couldn't overcome the same type of deal yesterday against the Panthers. And I think the other thing that's been killing this team, the pre-snap penalties, because those are things you can control, as well as the inability to consistently establish an offensive rhythm. Now, you can say, and John Fox alluded to this after the game against the Lions on Saturday, he said that injuries play a role. And to some degree, that's true, because they had to once again shuffle the interior of their offensive line. They went away from their running game because of it, and I think that hurts you in terms of your ability to just move the ball and establish a rhythm. I think the key to me is, and you heard Fox say it, he doesn't want to play the type of game where you're passing the ball 46 times. Well, if that's the case, earlier this season he said that, you know, he's not the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, or special teams coordinator, but he coordinates all three. Well, he can say let's focus on running the ball more, or at least give a real true emphasis on handing the ball off. And even when you don't see a profit from that in the early going of the game, you can control things a little bit better if there's more balance from that standpoint.
Speaking of those bumps and bruises, Josh Sitton didn't look good. What else came out of that game injury-wise?
Well, Chris Brzezinski had to leave with a concussion.
Yeah, that was immediate. You knew he was gone. When he lowered that head and Eric Ebron was like, all right, I'm going to give you my helmet too in the back of his head, that was bad.
Yeah, there were four players by my count that went into the medical tent behind the Bears bench with the independent doctor, and two left the game after being diagnosed with a concussion. One was Brzezinski. The other one was the backup to Kyle Long, the right guard, Tom Compton, which forced the Bears to, at one point, put Bradley Soule in there at right guard, and then Hronis Gorsu went in because Soule didn't do the job that they wanted, and then Sitton goes down. So the whole interior of the line is in flux, and John Fox didn't give an injury report today, saying that we'll find out on Wednesday, the first day that he's required to by the league, give an injury update on the players we just talked about. Jordan Howard went into the tent with an independent doctor. He passed, was able to come out. Pernell McPhee went in there with the independent doctor as well. He did not return to the game. It wasn't a concussion. They called it a shoulder injury.
Are they done with this thing now? I mean, the whole Pernell McPhee thing. I mean, the guy, I give him a lot of credit.
Well, while he was out there,
he's trying. He had a terrific play breaking up that screen where he defeats the block and then gets through to the ball carrier. That's a big time NFL
play.
Yeah, he was
playing possessed.
He's just not available too much.
You can't go into these games and be done in the middle of the second quarter every time.
Yeah, it's a problem, but they're so limited in terms of personnel at the outside linebacker spot that, you know, he tried to give it a go and was playing, as you guys mentioned, extremely well early on. As soon as he goes out, I think right after he went out was that huge pass play to Marvin Jones, who beat Eddie Jackson. John Fox was asked about that today. What's the coaching point from that? And basically, he compared it to, it's almost as though you have to box the receiver out, as though you were rebounding, playing basketball, and that's something that you know, he has to do going forward.
Well, Kenny Galladay did that a couple of times, and Eddie Jackson was on the wrong side of one of those.
Yeah, well, he's a rookie too, and when you're playing as many rookies as the Bears are playing, you're going to go through those types of issues. But yeah, so in terms of the injuries, those are the big ones, I think. I'm trying to run through my head real quick. Yeah, those are the biggest names that they had to leave the game.
All right, let's look at some nuggets and tidbits.
This is the first time that the Bears have gone winless in their division since 1969.
Oof. And that was the 1-13 year?
They can sweep the AFC North, though.
Yep, huh? Yeah. Were they 1-13 in 69?
Yeah, that's when they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe. Their only win that season, the team that would be in the AFC North. I think it was the AFC Central back then.
Wow. Zach, thank you.
Love you, Zach.
See you guys.
That is Zach Zaidman with our Bears report. And the John Fox stuff about the football I don't think is as significant as how he tried to get his way out of the Jerry Richardson comments. But this is, I'm wondering how long, what the legs will be on the Jerry Richardson story, because you asked the right question. Once you say, okay, here's one old school owner, when before Bud Adams died, we were just talking about Amy Adams Strunk, who has taken over that job. That was another sort of old school.
My daddy and your daddy.
Yes. They look pretty good. So, welcome to Tight Jeans Friday. They had Tight Jeans Friday. And Jerry Richardson.
Probably not the best environment for you people.
And Jerry, we would walk around and ask.
Not hot enough.
Right. He's doing the cater.
Well, you must have had to put some butter on those thighs to squeeze into those jeans you're wearing there.
These animals, man. This guy. How can you be that guy, though? Like, how can you be the guy who's, you know, Bible thumping?
Because they're all that guy.
I like my blacks without tattoos and piercings. You know,
they're all
stay
that
in line.
Guy.
He was also a part of the, you know, you stand for the flag group. Like, how can you be that guy but walk around saying these things to women and reportedly,
may I shave your legs?
Yeah, like what?
How about you come in here? Let me rub that back of yours and rub your shoulders. How about the things about the seat? What they call the seatbelt trick?
When a woman in his car, he would insist on buckling her seatbelt so he could rub up against her. And it was like, oh yeah, get ready for the seatbelt thing that he does. That's just what, and he, this is when you know something's weird. Everybody just called him Mr. He didn't have a, it wasn't Mr. Richardson.
Or Mr. Jerry. Or was that, you know, in the South, you know, people go
sure
with the
thing,
Mr. and
Mr. Jerry. Yeah, it was, no. It was just
Mr.
Like
mother and father?
It was, that's already so weird. You're the owner of a business.
But Dan, Mr.
is in the building. I would suggest you tighten up those jeans.
This reminds me of an argument that I had with my uncle. I got is one of the greatest drunk arguments of all time, where he and I argued if Will and Jada Pinkett Smith's kids will ever be normal. This is when they were still youngins, right? And I said to him, there's no way in hell because of the amount of money they have. And he's like, oh, no, he's just being a hater. What makes you think that his parents and style won't? I'm like, no. It's not even the fact that they will or won't be good or bad parents.
You are a hater. Right.
There's a certain amount of money and a certain amount of attachment and things that are available to you that sometimes parenting can't help. I take that to this. There's a certain amount of money where the weird knows no bounds. Where we will walk, and I'm sure you've been around certain amounts of money where you're like, oh, this is how you get down? Or, dude,
Well, that's like DuPont, right?
There are certain
Foxcatcher?
Yes. He thought he was all good. And you're like, hey, like,
you're not developed properly. Right? Yeah.
There are certain very, esteemed buildings in this area that we work right here that house very weird kind of meetings where you walk in and there's a little person being thrown, you know, Wolf of Wall Street style. Yeah. Where rich people get together and do rich people things.
Yeah,
and
you're like eyes wide shut sort of stuff.
So when this comes out,
just because they're rich.
Sometimes which having that amount of money, though, you go, hey, I'm tired of normal stuff.
All of a sudden,
let's all start to do weird stuff.
Or you're the Sultan of Brunei, and you're watching television. You say, those Raiders cheerleaders, kidnap them and bring them to me.
Just saying.
And people say, okay, and they do it for you.
Because
you're the Sultan.
These dudes have been getting away.
You're the Sultan of Brunei.
These guys have been getting away with murder for years. And all of a sudden, it's like a revolution. And people, and they're in their ivory towers. They don't see what's happening beneath them. And like, oh, you can't say this to women anymore?
It amazes me that Prince William and Prince Harry seem as totally normal as they are. I'm sure they're not, but when you start thinking about like the weird ancient royal families,
Prince Harry's still got that old Nazi costume. He's got to explain that Nazi Halloween costume.
And did you know
he did a complete 180? Like, I didn't know you were going to bring her home after this.
And apparently, both of them had cameos as stormtroopers in the Star Wars movie.
Nice.
Tom Hardy did too, I guess. No. Just wanted to put the costume on me. Let me be a stormtrooper in line with the other stormtroopers just to say I did it. Take pictures on the set, update. That kind of thing. That's cool.
That'd be cool.
Know you got power. You can pick up the phone like, hey, I'm a big stormtrooper.
Julie, you want to be a stormtrooper?
I'll be a stormtrooper.
Okay.
We should try to be stormtroopers. Hell, we can't even sing the damn seventh inning stretch after 3 years of having the Cubs on this station. When is that going to happen?
I think all the stormtroopers should be Herb Lawrence.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, this thing that you've got with Herb, man. At some point, you guys are going to have to talk.
No, that's my dude. I find
you keep you keep couching it with that's my
he's
dude.
He's so interesting.
All right. Here's
the lie detector test determined that was a lie.
So what is you doing?
Sorry, Julie.
I just want right. to know where that comes from.
Just sit down with him. I think you'll get all of it. Sorry, Jules.
Where are these buildings now?
No. They're secret buildings. You got to take, like, you know, a balloon and a light bulb as the password. And,
wow.
You know, next thing you know, you can toss a little person.
Wow.
Toss a little person Tuesdays here at Buffalo Wild Wings. No, I'm sorry. It's not a Buffalo Wild Wings event, by the way. Don't get, you know, me in trouble.
Too late.
Sorry.
It's 2:32 in the Chicago Wolves Update Studio. The Chicago Wolves beat Rockford last week on a last-second goal. First four games between the two were decided by just one goal. Chicago hosts Rockford in a rematch Saturday, December 30th at Allstate Arena. ChicagoWolves.com for tickets. This scoreboard is brought to you by Pearl Mortgage. Go to PERLDavid.com. Bulls going for the sixth straight win tonight at the UC. When the Sixers come to town, Joel Embiid will not play in this one. He's sidelined with back issues. The Bulls' Lauri Markkanen will be a game-time decision for the same reason. Blackhawks take on Dallas on Thursday. Patrick Sharp looks to be a healthy scratch for that one. Patrick Kane was named the league's first star of the week, and the Hawks reassigned Ville Poca to Rockford today. 4-10 Bears take on the Browns on Christmas Eve, and in hot stove news, the Cubs are in on free agent Yu Darvish. According to the Scorer's Bruce Levine, Buster Olney says the two teams that have showed the most interest in the Orioles, Manny Machado, are the Diamondbacks and the White Sox. This scoreboard update was brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Tis the season, cold and flu season that is. Let the Exergen Temporal Scanner help your family get through the holidays in a healthy way. With accuracy backed by more than 70 clinical studies, the temporal scanner makes for a great stocking stuffer. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the number one ranked sports station in Chicago. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I mentioned that John Fox was asked a question that he certainly should have been expecting at his press conference today regarding the bombshell news, and it is that. It is that. The fact that Panthers owner Jerry Richardson, first Sports Illustrated, starts sniffing around, making some phone calls. They realize they got some information, people going on the record with them. They're seeing documents. Then the Panthers say, oh, yes, we're aware of this, and we're investigating, and we'll figure it out. And then the outcry is, well, why are you doing that? And the NFL not. NFL says, we're investigating. And then, boom, the Carolina Panthers Twitter feed announces that Jerry Richardson says he is selling the team at the conclusion of this year. Well, it seems like John Fox was ambushed by a question.
The more did you following the news down in Carolina?
Oh, yeah. Again, I don't know the ins and outs. I don't have time to see all the intricacies, but...
hear some of those stories about...
Well, I don't know the stories. Don't really want to know the stories. I just can tell you that, my dealings with them were all very, very positive, and, I've got nothing but good things in my dealings with it.
Yeah, that's the wrong way to go about it.
Come on.
You're a professional and have been a professional for decades.
It's not about your dealings with him.
No.
It's clearly about other dealings with other people who weren't in the same position you were in.
Damn.
It's not about your... Nobody asked about your dealings with him.
Damn.
They asked what you think about what you're finding out. And then... So he said, are you following? Yeah, oh, yeah. And then... No. It's like he walked too far in and he left the room, like slowly backed out of the room and closed the door.
The Homer Simpson shrink fading away into his hedges meme.
Come on.
This is the year, though, of if it doesn't affect me, it doesn't exist, though. Like, think about the things, that, especially in that league. Think about the things and the way things have been presented, whether it be any social issue or anything else. This is the year of, if it doesn't affect me, it doesn't exist. So that's him telling you in so many words what his thought process is, probably on a lot of things. It doesn't affect me, doesn't exist. I don't know any women, don't have any women in my family. Doesn't matter at all.
Except my wife.
Right, exactly. None of the women I've ever been around or I've liked have ever been around Jerry Richardson.
My dealings haven't been fine. He never groped me when he tried to fasten my seatbelt, never made me wear the tight jeans. So I don't know what anybody's talking about. Come on.
Like on a day where you should...
How hard is it?
On a day when you should probably be checking in on a lot of the women that you probably knew that worked with him. You know? Like if something like that comes out about someone or a person that I've worked closely with, you probably should be checking in on the ladies that day. Like, hey, I did not know this was going on, but is everything okay with you? I don't want to impede on any investigation, but on the strength of just being a human.
Yeah, you might just send a text and say, I'm dismayed by what I'm hearing.
Good.
And I would certainly hope that currently all NFL teams are looking at some form of best practices and understanding that
there's a lot of PowerPoints going on. In this last, two days or so?
Here is a hotline, an anonymous hotline,
It's best if we find out first.
You got to get out ahead of this.
Yeah, of course.
You got to get out ahead of this.
Of course.
Oak Park, this is Les on the Score.
Hi, guys. every once in a while, you guys say something that just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, it was, or the week before, it was the McCaskies. The children don't suffer because they don't sell it and they have no income, and you compare it to stocks. Stocks pay dividends. The Bears generate income. You're confusing the balance sheet with an income sheet.
I'm telling you, I know for a fact that there are people in the family named McCaskey
who have been urging the team to sell because they don't have an advantage based on the ownership stakes that don't produce income for them.
Okay, I retract that statement because you have information I don't have. Now,
that's what he was speaking
from. That's why I was telling you.
Now, this, your comment about John Fox's response to this owner, let's say hypothetically your employer is found guilty of something horrible. Mm-hmm. You, I don't think, would chastise him on the air because it might put
his career is over. He's done.
And he knows he's done. That's why he's maybe not wanting to chastise some owner because it would cut off.
Les, how do you chastise someone by saying that?
How is that chastising somebody?
You're hoping that these things aren't true, but if they are true, they shouldn't happen in a workplace in this day and age.
This is unfortunate, and I'm sorry to hear it.
That's
I'm sorry. This
cut off his nose to spite his face.
What are you talking about?
Every person who works for someone knows.
He doesn't work for him anymore. Yeah. Yeah, and he's not going to be working for this team anymore.
He hasn't worked for him for years.
And
not to mention,
I want to get back to your false equivalency here. This is a publicly traded company. Our owners are the stockholders. So that doesn't fly.
Well, how am I supposed to know this?
Well, because we work for Enercon.
Hold on, but Les.
How are you supposed to know that we work for a publicly traded company?
What do you think, is this owned by some guy in a street corner? There's two things now that you've called up that you've had a bone to pick with us, and both things now you have said I didn't have that information.
Well, I can admit an error.
All right.
Maybe next time figure it out before you pick up a phone.
Well, what I'm saying is that when an employee chastises his employer,
he's not chastising.
He's asked to speak about the biggest issue that happened in the NFL this week.
It is also not chastising to understand that what this owner did was reprehensible.
Well, I don't know what the owner did.
Read a newspaper. What do you mean you don't know what he did? Is that the third thing you're admitting you didn't know when you picked up the phone?
I think John Fox's response...
Wait a second. Wait, are you saying you don't know what Jerry Richardson did?
Yeah, no, I don't know what he's doing because I'm busy trying to make a living. I don't spend my life on the sports page.
Okay, so why do you have time to call us then?
Because I heard it listening to the station while I'm doing my work.
Okay, so I just want to get this straight.
Yeah.
You had three legs to this call. All of which now you say have no standing because of your own lack of information.
No. I retracted my comment about the stock dividends and the income.
And the second one. You had no idea that we work for a publicly traded corporation.
Your basic thesis is you should not have bothered calling. And my dean was soliciting all the women. I never brought it up because I was dating one of them. I never brought it up.
You should have. You should have.
You probably could have stopped a lot of harassment if you brought it up.
Yeah, you should have. You did the wrong thing, Les.
You watch your mouth.
You did the wrong thing, Les.
Watching your mouth is how a lot of kids get harmed. That's how a lot of women stay getting assaulted.
That's the Nuremberg defense. Nicely done.
That's probably not the best thing for you to admit to, brother.
I know what you're saying. But what I'm simply saying is it's common sense that if you are aware of the supervisor...
You report them. By law.
...appropriately...
You report them.
You keep your mouth shut.
You are 100% wrong.
This is amazing.
You report them to human resources.
Les, do you have any women in your family? Like, is there any empathy or sympathy here?
Yeah, I had a cousin who was inappropriately attacked.
And probably that person was enabled by people like you.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, you say keep your mouth shut. Yeah. Don't tell anybody.
There are two sides to the story.
Oh, so now he's in it. So now Jerry Richardson did nothing wrong.
He's like going down a
checklist. And yet you say you don't know what Jerry Richardson...
John Fox wants to ensure that he doesn't alienate all the owners in the league.
But Les, at what point can you alienate someone when they do something wrong?
What would alienate the other owners if he says that these activities, these behaviors are unfortunate and unacceptable? Who does that alienate? If he says this is unfortunate and unacceptable,
you err on.
Who? No, answer the question. Who does that alienate?
When you have
All right, we're less, done with this less, guy. We're less, done with this less, guy.
Unfortunately, man, you come from a time that is still is not benefiting women. You come from a time where
that's it was a bad guy.
Yeah,
that's a bad guy.
It's okay to do these things and act these ways around ladies and just hope they know how to deal with it. Yeah, keep your mouth shut. That's probably not the best way to go about things, brother.
This segment brought to you by Burlington. Make your Burlington store your coat headquarters and save big on great styles for the family. Plus, sweaters, scarves, hats, gloves, and boots. That's a lot for way less. Burlington, style for everyone.
312-644-6767 is the phone number if you want to talk about the Bears and the Lions on Saturday or this Jerry Richardson story that it broke during our show on Friday, right when we were on the way out, I believe in the last segment around 5:40 or so, and it's been bubbling. And Dan brought up the fact as soon as he started reading it, as soon as it broke about the independent investigation that was going to be done, the NFL jumps in there 36 hours later at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, this man decides that he wants to sell one of the richest. How many things you think are bigger in this country in terms, I don't know, man hours, revenue than the NFL? Are there like more than four or five things that are bigger? Like we're talking what? GE. We're talking.
These franchises don't just become available.
Exactly.
Like this.
Yeah. He bought this thing for $280 million. He's going to sell out for close to $2 billion. So he's going to go away like Donald Sterling did with a huge lump sum of money. And it's a guy who already has problems with his kids. He's put it in his will that he wanted to divest after he died, he wanted the team to be sold and not given to his kids. So he's got issues there already. But this is a huge story. Every news outlet is covering this thing. And the fact that it's gone to where it's gone, I think there are, you know, dozens of people out there. The fact that we've heard about four or five, he's like, all right, hey, can we? That's the other thing too. I think the second most important question after the how or the why this happened or how long it went on is what's going to happen with the investigation if he says, and since he has said, I'm going to sell. Does the NFL peel back and go, okay,
it shouldn't.
Now that we forced you into selling.
They shouldn't, because they need to find out who else in that office was aware of what was going on. I guarantee you.
Would you be surprised if they do, though?
Would you be surprised to keep the stain,
as much of the stain off of the franchise that is getting ready to be sold to someone?
What they should be finding out is who was putting out the fires. Because for all of those payouts to happen, there was somebody following him around. Like, okay, right. What did he do to you? Did he do the seatbelt thing? All right, well, that's $250,000 or right, whatever it is. Right. There's a cleanup crew like Men in Black that comes in with a checkbook and the neuralizer that is just going to say because they know for to go on for Mister. Now, it's just Mr. being Mr., and he's going to grope, and he's going to ask to shave their legs, and the back rubs are going to get weird, and the foot rubs are going to get weird.
But this is different from normal workplace harassment where you get your severance pay, you get your Matt Lauer $33 million and get told to go stay in the Hamptons. There is still an entity that has to trade hands. So if you're the NFL, how deep do you dig with also keeping your own profit margins in mind? The Carolina Panthers are a very important franchise to the NFL.
Yeah, according, and I want to thank Julie DeCaro for just retweeting this, that according to Jason LaConfora, the NFL has confirmed that it is moving forward with the investigation into Jerry Richardson, even with him now selling the team. I would think legally you have to.
Last night, that was, to me, the biggest question. All right, because he threw his hands up. He said, I'm coming out. You know, don't shoot. Got nothing on me. I'm coming out.
Sort of like John Skipper.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, it just so happens.
I like drugs.
That I have a substance abuse problem, so I'm leaving and don't ask me any questions.
We hope he gets
help. This is all a problem.
We hope he gets help.
Yes. Yeah,
John Fox and Jay Richardson, John Skipper going to a log cabin somewhere and have a vacation. But
the start of a joke.
He's coming out of the house. You got me. He put his hands behind his back and handcuffed me, you know, style. Okay.
He's a brother, they shoot him anyway.
Right. But this, the thing though, I thought the NFL would say, okay, now that you've allowed us to dig a little bit, we've gotten you to the point where we don't need to go any further because this is still going to be somebody's valuable commodity. Are you able to pass it along with that kind of stain? Because now you're going to have to keep these employees, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because now you're going to look like the bad guy if you come in with a whole new crew and you get rid of the whistleblowers.
McHenry and Matt on the score. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment about John Fox and how you said that he kind of sugarcoats everything and doesn't really say it the way it is. And I happen to know somebody that works at Hallis Hall.
Yeah.
And they said how Fox is real sensitive. And
we were talking specifically about today about his comments regarding his former owner.
I understand. But you also commented about that he said that it was Trubisky's best game.
Mm-hmm. Well, my point was you can't say that nobody else sees what we see while also being the person that refuses to explain things to people. That's fine if you say, look, I wish you could understand better what we see, so I'm going to help you understand better what's going on. And he won't do that. My point is he can't be both guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was just getting at that. I don't think he corrects the players the way he should because of the way he is, you know, that he's real sensitive. So
Wait. No, we're talking about his public statements, not what he says to players.
Okay.
Yeah, who knows how he goes about his business.
From what I understand,
all the players love him.
Yeah, from what I understand about players, that he doesn't spare criticism in film.
Oh, really? I kind of disagree. I don't ever hear him say
in the film room.
Yeah, doesn't do anything in public.
When you talk to players about how he is behind closed doors, they say that he does not spare them and do this public act when he's coaching them.
Now, very few coaches do anything in public anymore at all when it comes to, you know, saying critiquing a player the way we would want them to as media or fans.
Batavia, I was out there on Saturday. Here is Jordan on the score.
Hey, guys. When it comes to Fox, the way he handles press conferences in general, whether it's, you know, diving questions about clock management or now this stuff, is it safe to consider him just generally some form of a coward when it comes to getting light shined on him?
No. When we asked him about it, there was a rare...
Wrong C word.
There was a rare moment of lucidity, Jordan, a couple of years ago during training camp when he was in the trailer with us in Bourbonnais. And we asked him straight up, why do you do this? And he said it's because of Bill Belichick. He's aping Bill Belichick because it's now fashionable to act like that because people think that there's a causal relationship between acting like that and being good at coaching.
Right. Instead of the opposite, where Belichick is, at least he seems mostly bored with inane questions and will respond when prompted with, I don't know, interesting questions that he deems worthy of his time. Instead, they're just taking that behavior and hoping that makes them a better coach in some fashion, more insightful, I guess.
Yeah, believe that it's if you act like that, you're more likely to win. When, first of all, Bill Belichick is just weird. And second of all, winning allows him to really not have to care what people think about him at all. So that's the reason for it. I mean, Fox has been, he's been open about why he acts like that. It's just when you get to a situation, it's one thing to say that about football. Everybody gets behind, they throw the ball, and whatever you score in situation. But when it comes to the counted behaviors, the long-standing pattern of behavior that is now on the record for Jerry Richardson with multiple witnesses and payouts out the wazoo, don't pretend you don't know. And there's an easy way, instead of saying, I don't want to know the stories, to actually willfully, publicly claim a desire for ignorance when it's something really being taken seriously by a lot of people, just a bad look.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Talking to you, but not a lot of Bears-Lions talk, and that's fine because Saturday's game was a nothing, and the Lions were sitting there like, ha, if you were better, you could probably beat us, but you cannot beat us because you are not better. It was a nothing. Sunday was fun, though. I enjoyed all day yesterday.
A lot going on.
There's some, man, if you really look at it, Doug Marrone isn't any great shakes. Like, I'm starting to think now.
Don't call him trash.
No.
Jadeveon.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that, but I'm starting to, maybe I shouldn't do it because of the Jaguars, but if you got somebody who knows who to pay, because it's weird when you throw that much money at a situation and it turns out being successful in this short a time. But there's been a lot of money thrown on that Jacksonville situation. And you look at how awesome that defense is. They got three wide receivers that are rookies that are playing their ass off. The Mickens kid, D.D. Westbrook, who everyone was scared of coming out of college because he was a little, he was an idiot. He was involved in some really bad things at
Probably
Oklahoma.
He still is.
Yeah. And who's the other rookie that they got? Keenan Cole, I believe, running around. Like they got Leonard Fournette. Like they're a team where we've been talking about how sexy they are for a few years, and
especially those tight jeans.
Well, Gus Bradley they hired the Seattle dude to make their little Seattle.
Yep.
And Doug Marrone comes along and is like, all right, I'll just press play on this thing. And who the best team is in the NFC, round one of Pats and Steelers. What's a catch? What's not a catch? There was a whole bunch to take in yesterday.
The 309 says the NFL has to keep investigating this because any potential buyer of the franchise could think how many lawsuits could still come against the team. Just because the owner did it and the owner steps down doesn't mean the Panthers can't still get sued. That's the point. When you're talking about potential liability right. on the other side of the asset ledger, and if you're buying the team, I think it's completely reasonable to want to know how deep did this go and what is still an open question.
The full portfolio.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you're allowed to know that. Akron, Iowa, and Chad on the score.
How you doing this afternoon, guys?
Okay.
Hey, so I was calling about Fox and Pace and where we're at here, and it just seems to me as an outside observer, you know, I have no way to verify this, just seems that there's a level of laziness in Hallis Hall because they don't clean up the small things. And, you know, Fox's response today is a microcosm of the larger picture where he's asked about sexual harassment and he doesn't have an answer. It's just like they don't have an answer why Tariq Cohen didn't know the 2-minute offense.
Oh, so you're saying the franchise looks ill prepared in moments that they should be prepared for?
That might be. I think it's a bit of a reach, but I think
we've talked about what PR's staffs should do in this city and how now, sometimes it's a bad look. I mean, that Patrick Kane press conference.
Oof.
You know, remember that? Was that Notre Dame? Yeah. I mean, sir, you knew it was coming. You knew you would have to sit down with the media. You knew that you probably shouldn't talk hockey or the Blackhawks culture, and that's all that came spewing out of it. So, you know, there are PR staffs in this city who know things are coming. I'm sure the Bears knew that this question was coming. This is a guy who worked for Jerry
That's
Richardson.
Why you give John Skipper credit. Wait a second.
This is coming.
Something's coming. I am leaving.
Man, I hope he's all good. I hope he gets better, I should say. If he does have an issue, if he you know, just has had it up to here with whatever substance that he has been abusing. That's it, right? It's substance abuse, right?
Apparently so.
So if he just, you know, had an intervention on the day that Jerry Richardson got sent up the river, then hey.
Or when the backlash came about the John Buchigross shirtless texts sent to Bucci Gang.
What are you doing?
And why as a company did they think it was a good idea to say, hey, it's not that bad. Look at this. They sent those out.
Well, that's because they were gonna get scooped though.
Well, that's like, but
Miko
still,
Grimes was on the case.
That's like, hey.
Miko Grimes had some pictures and she had the detonator like 10, 9, 8.
I picture her like a noir detective with a fedora cocked over one eye.
Where in the world is Carmen Brooklyn?
Yeah, the blinds are half closed. She's got the bottle of bourbon on the desk, right?
She's got the phone like, you do it or I'll do it.
The desk phone,
just hang up.
Detective Miko, wait.
If you see that text conversation with Adrian Lawrence, I believe her name is, and Bucci, and you're like, bro, you don't even have to try that hard.
Right.
You say, can we go to dinner? You see that she's not comfortable with that. And
now,
you,
how about this?
You never bring it up again.
Here I am without a shirt.
You never bring it up. That's the other thing.
Next thing, they're going to start sending out the Sean Salisbury pics.
Dude, like, he got out of there before social media and all those other things. Are we up against a timeout, Tanny? Is this, we got 1 minute here. Can I bring up Julie? Is Julie in the update studio? Julie? Oh, she's not in the update studio. Maybe Julie.
I'm here.
Okay. Hey. I was asked by someone the other day and he said, you have to ask this for me because I will mangle it. And I told him I will mangle it just as good or just as well, whatever. In the eyes of the law, what conversation in terms of your intentions with a woman is safe? Like, how, pretty much he asked me, how do you ask a woman or find out if a woman is interested in you and it not be harassment?
Yeah, I think I was having this conversation with my husband, too, and he's a lawyer, too, and we're trying to figure out.
Hey, your conversations have been a little wayward, mister. So let's get back to the rules here.
I mean, I think you can express to someone that you're interested in them, but when they rebuff you, then that's it.
Right.
You're done.
See, that's what I told him. Because he was like, how do I know if somebody doesn't want to have sex with me if I don't ask? I'm like, that's a little different.
And look at how many people you know.